Well, just out of curiosity, how many of you were the youngest child? Ah, wasn't it fabulous to have that position in the family? I mean, you know, we were the spoiled ones. We were the ones whose parents doted on our every need. We were the ones who were spoiled beyond compare. I don't know about you, but I always wanted to live in that family because it sure didn't happen in mine. You know, I would have done anything to be able to change places with one of my older siblings. They were the ones who had it easy. You know, I didn't take it personal at first, you know, being the youngest. When we would sit down at the dinner table and we would be having this conversation and suddenly everyone around me started to spell, well, I just thought they wanted me to become a better speller. You know, the champion speller of Wyandotte County. So when I learned how to spell, my siblings started to speak in Pig Latin, and my parents' famous form of communication were riddles. I still had no idea what they were talking about. And when I finally told them that I really didn't think it was nice for big people to speak in ways that little people couldn't understand, do you know what they told me? They told me they would let me know everything I needed to know when I was 16. So I started making lists. Lists upon lists upon lists. The day I turned 16, I walked up to my mom and I said, "So?" She said, "So what?" I said, "So what about all those things you were going to tell me?" She said, "So you haven't read your Bible, have you?" I said, "What?" She said, "Get your Bible. Jesus says those who have ears should hear." I mean, I had a complex, and suddenly it was all Jesus' fault because I wasn't smart enough to put the pieces together. Well, not being one who likes to lose an argument, regardless of how long it takes to win it, I was in seminary. And came across Jesus' prayer. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent to reveal them to infants." So see, all along, I really knew what was important. It was my parents who were wise and intelligent, and my brothers and sisters who always told me they were so wise and intelligent that we're really being left out in the dark, right? But the beginning of that passage, it's a little confusing. "But to what can I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played our flute for you, but you would not dance. We wailed and you would not mourn.'" Jesus loves riddles. Because on the one hand, he says that he deliberately hides things from the wise and the intelligent. And on the other hand, he says that the children have no idea why. Why don't we dance and mourn? Why don't we hear the cries of the world? Those who are in pain? Why is it that somehow or the other we decide we're too old or too sophisticated to laugh and rejoice and dance with the children? I grew up in the generation that was taught that education is the answer to everything. You know, get a good enough education and you'll get this wonderful job and you'll be able to make lots of money and other people will get educations and they'll make lots of money and they'll figure out the problems of the world, and pretty soon, well, there won't be any. We'll just all learn to love each other and get along because we'll all have this magnificent education. In other words, I came from a generation that was taught that we could save ourselves if only we tried hard enough. When problems assailed our lives, if we just looked long enough and studied hard enough and did enough research and asked all the right people, pretty soon we'd have the answer and our life would be back on track and we'd live the good life. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen the way that we were told it was going to happen. Any of you told the same thing? Yeah, get that education. Well, I wouldn't give up my education for anything. And I have been to some of the really good schools in this country, but I'll tell you what, my education can't save me. The only thing that's going to save me, the only thing that is going to save you, is Jesus. We have to be willing to go to the throne and say, I don't know. I don't understand. It's all too hard. I need someone to help me. We have to be willing to admit that we don't have the answers. We have to be willing to say our life is the pits. And we have to be willing to stand by others who are feeling the same thing. When the children and when other people are filled with joy and thanksgiving, we can dance with them. And when others, their lives are falling apart, we can stand with them. Not offering answers, but only offering our love. But to do it all, we have to be willing to be honest with ourselves and with others. Now, this was a lesson that's hard for me. As a matter of fact, I got that fabulous education and I was doing well in my career, and I came home one day. My oldest daughter had a new boyfriend, and you know, daughters tend to be painfully honest. They were sitting in the living room with this new boyfriend, and I walked in, and they were saying, no, this is how you do it, and they'd smile, and they'd wave, and I said, what are you doing? They were teaching him the pastor's wave, the pastor's face. I said, what do you mean? And they said, oh, come on, Mom. And oh, they were right. Our world could be falling apart. We could be discussing extremely important matters. And you let a parishioner walk by and our conversation would stop like that. And we'd wave and we'd smile and they'd say, how's it going? And I'd say, ah, just great. How about with you? And then when they left, We went back to our discussion. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to admit the truth and to go before God, not with your pastor's face and your waves and all of our stock answers, but with the truth? If only we would. His promise is, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Do you know when Jesus spoke those words? It was during what we call his final discourse. He was on the road to Jerusalem. He knew what was awaiting him there. And yet his concern remained for us. His concern was for our troubles, for our woes. And even on that night, when he knew that only hours he would be crucified, his thoughts were not for himself, but for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So why can't we trust him? Why can't we tell him what's wrong? Why can't we rejoice in what is right?